Are you headed into a meeting you're dreading? A committee where you're just outnumbered, or a day that feels overwhelming? Discover why, if God is for you, no one and nothing can truly stand against you. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you're having a great day today. It's going to be fun outside. I came over the pass and just yesterday, and it was snowy. So the weather outside is frightful, but the Word of God is always delightful. Hey, we're going to dive into God's Word in just a few moments. A couple announcements for you. If you are enjoying these Washington Defender devotionals, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. If you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. Also, if you're a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. Your monthly support truly does help us out a lot. All right, we are in a series called I Am Convinced. And I just got to tell you, I hope you go through the whole part of this, because this is one of those really encouraging messages that you just don't see every day. And so, or hear about every day, depending on if you're watching us online or if you're listening to us on Spotify. So let's read the scripture overall and then dive into breaking it down. And I know some of you, this is kind of maybe a little bit new for you doing a Bible study this way, especially maybe online or electronically, but I hope you are enjoying it as we dive deep into God's Word. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Romans 8, 29 through 32. So this first part is for those whom he foreknew. Have you thought about this? God is for us. God is so for us. He cares about us, and he foreknew us. Now, we always struggle with God's omniscience and his foreknowledge and our free will. We somehow do not know how all those go together, but I want you to hear this first and foremost, that God is for you and he foreknew you. He foreknew you. He foreknew everything about you. He said, well, then if he foreknew me, did I get to choose? Did I get to do all these things? And you can wrestle with that, but he foreknows. He knows before you know in your knower what you're going to choose. How? I don't know. He's God. He has foreknowledge. He knows options A, B, C, and D, and he knows which one you're going to choose. So he foreknew you. And so then we go down to the next part of the verse. He also, for those he foreknew, he also predestined. Now, for some of you, you celebrate that word predestined. You get really excited about the word predestined. And others, you're like, oh, what is he going to say? Well, if God's knowledge is based on foreknowing us, and he knows how we're going to respond to him, we can see that he can destine us to whatever. He predestined us. But this verse says he predestined us to a particular reason. What did he predestine us to? To become conformed to the image of his Son. So this predestiny, based upon God's foreknowledge, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Holy guacamole, what would change in the public square today if you lived in conformity to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Now, what does that actually mean, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Well, Christ's image was one of, he is the Lion of Judah and he's the Lamb, both the Lion and the Lamb. And you say, how is that possible? How can you be a Lion and a Lamb? I don't know. He's God. Jesus is God. And so We're conformed to those things. We're bold as a lion, but we're gentle as a lamb. We're humble like a lamb. The Bible says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, that did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, yes, a bondservant. And so that whole concept of emptying ourselves, he destined us to be conformed, to take the shape of the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So based upon God's foreknowledge, he predestined you. Now, when you understand this, it changes everything. You may be an elected official today. God foreknew that, and he predestined you in that role to become conformed to the image of his son. You may be a business owner today. God foreknew that. And in that role, he predestined you to become conformed to the image of his son. You might be a father or a mother, and God's predestined you to become conformed to the image of his son. You might be a religious leader, or you might be whatever, a laborer. God's conformed you to become conformed to the image of his son. So regardless of what we are called to do, we are destined and predestined by Almighty God to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I believe that God wishes that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I think this is possible. I mean, is, you know, in the sense of it's not a false reality. He truly desires none to perish. At the same time, he truly understands the heart of man and foreknows those who will choose him and those who will reject him. And in like manner, he destined everyone to be conformed. You know, when you think about the creation, he wanted everyone to be in the image. It says that he created male and female in our image, or the image of God. So think about that for a moment. You are destined to be conformed. Why did he do that? He tells you right here. So that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're destined for this, so that we'd be the first, predestined for this, so that we'd be the firstborn among many. So think about your destiny. God's molding you and shaping you. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Did you know that you're walking in the very calling of God today? Remember, what are we doing around here? We're changing our hearts so that we change the public square. Now, if you walk into that public square, so you step out of the church circle, you step out of Sunday morning, and you go into the public square, and you walk in there going, I am called by God for this moment. Do you think that's going to change something? Do you think that that's going to change your perspective, your interactions? Is that going to give you a different attitude as you walk throughout your day, because you're recognizing that you are on divine mission? God foresaw that day. He predestined you to be in the likeness of his son, and he called you for that moment. Now, is this mostly talking about salvation? Maybe. I don't know. The verse right before it says that he works all things together for his good. So it could be just the normal circumstances and the situations we find ourselves in. It could be salvation. But we do know this, that God called you to this moment. He called you. He's making himself abundantly evident to you. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that exciting to think about, that God has called you out of darkness and placed you in the light of his son, Jesus Christ? You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And he's called you. And those whom he has called, he also justified. What does justified mean? He foresaw you, he predestined you, he called you, and he justified you. Just as if I have never sinned. It's not saying that your sin is, you know, somehow okay. I was justified to call that person a name because they were rude to me. That's not what it means. Or I was justified to respond to my flesh because that person made me angry. Now, that's self-justification, and self-justification is as dirty as self-righteousness. This justification says, I've taken all that stuff, I paid the price through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have set you on the rock of Christ Jesus, and you're standing there, and you're not defined by sin any longer. Isn't that beautiful? God has called you and set you on a rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. He's cleaned you up. He has justified you and made you brand new. That is powerful. And the more we can understand that as we walk throughout our day, the more that we can grasp that, then we understand this next verse. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Do you know that you radiate the very presence of Almighty God? Now think about that for a moment. God is going before you in all things, and he wants you to know that he is for you and that he wants to radiate. He wants to come out of you so that he can be glorified. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. You can glorify God in your flesh. You can, and what do I mean by that? You make that flesh align with God's word and you begin to say, enough is enough. I'm walking after the things of God and recognizing that God is for you. He's not against you, and he wants you to be the light and the salt of the earth, and that glory that's coming out of you is actually him coming through you. We don't think of that. He also glorified you. We don't think of that often. Now, some would say that this ties into eternity, right? Okay, great. I believe eternity is in our hearts. That's what Ecclesiastes says. And so it's both now and then. These oftentimes have that type of statement, both now and in the future. So here is the big question of the day. What then shall we say to these things? So to give you the context, remember, if you go back in Romans, and before he started on this, he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and so on and so forth. So then it comes back, what should we say to all these things? What should we say about being foreknown by God? What should we say about being predestined, called, and justified, and glorified by God? What should we say that all the circumstances of our life, what should we say about these things? And here's his statement. It's in the form of a question. If God is for us, or if God is for you, who can be against you? This is what we need to stand on in Washington State today. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Everything changes when you get a hold of that verse. Everything, your perspective changes, your emotions change, your desires change, your hope changes when you understand that God is for you and you walk in those very things of God. If God is for you, who can be against you? You're walking into that workplace today as a man or woman of God, justified, cleansed, and glorified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if God is for you, who can be against you? You have the authority and the power to do what is right today and be in right standing with God. God is for us. He who did not spare his own son. So think about this. For God is for us. He did not even spare his own son. You say, how do I know God is for me? Think about a father who gives his son for you. That's a sign. That's a symbol. That's a signal of God's love. That's a demonstration of God's love. And if God is for you and he did not even spare his own son, can't you see how much God is for you? But what did he do? He delivered Jesus over for us all. He began. This is where people want to blame the Jews for crucifying Jesus. And you're just flat out wrong. God freely gave his son over and delivered him over for all of us. He laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. God is for you and God is for me. And Jesus didn't only lay down his life. On the third day, he rose again so that we may have eternal life. He conquered sin and death. He is victorious. So God is for us. He delivered him over for us all. For who? All of us. must believe on the things that God has said. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you say, yes, I believe that, God foresaw that. Then he predestined you, and then he called you and justified and glorified you. God has it all set up for you. He loves you. He wants to transform you. And what's your evidence? He gave up his one and only son for you and delivered him over to the cross for us all. Well, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So if the gospel message, which it is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, if that's the gospel message, and Jesus conquered sin, how much more will he freely give you all things? Now, I don't think this is I think it's about provision for our daily bread and not every desire that flows through our, you know, the mansion, the car, the whatever, all the material things, the name it and claim it gospel. I don't think this is a name it and claim it gospel verse. I think some people have attributed this verse to that, but this is really saying to you and to me that God has given us everything we need for a life of godliness and holiness in him. He's given you everything you need to be a witness and to walk in the very presence of Almighty God today. And as you walk into that workplace, he's given you everything you need to glorify God. So what's our application today? God foreknew you. God saw this day. He foreknew your salvation, and he foreknew this day in you. He's all-knowing. He's an all-knowing God, and he foresees it. And if you have a meeting that you're just like, oh, I do not want to go into that meeting. It's just going to be a horrible meeting today. God foresaw that. You could talk to him about it. He destined you to become conformed to the image of his son in that meeting today, to walk in there and represent Jesus Christ with excellence. For some of you who are in the legislative branch, you are called to committees that you are in the minority party, and you are representing Christ today. You are both the Lion of Judah, and you are as gentle as a lamb. You're going to sacrifice yourself today with great boldness, call people to their senses. You say, I don't know how to do that and not let my emotions or my... Ask God to help you. He's destined you and called you for this moment to be salt and light in whatever context you find yourself today. And he's justified you. He's made you sinless today in the presence of all the people around you. You say, wait, I still have a flesh. I get it. I'm talking about your spirit right now. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to walk in the things of the Holy Spirit so that your flesh is not glorified, but the Spirit of the living God inside of you. God is for you today. You say, what's your evidence? God gave his son for you and for me that we may have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you have divinely appointed our day. And God, you cause all things to work together for good. And so, Lord, we pray that as we go throughout our day, that our eyes and our ears and our nose and our throats and our hands and our bodies and all that we have would glorify you today, God. That we would bring all attention to your name. Let us be conformed to your son, Jesus Christ, in all humility and boldness. God, help us to blend those things well. Let us not to ever tell a lie, but always tell the truth. God, go before us in all things today. God, I pray for that person who's struggling with depression today. I pray that you would release them from their depression, that you would go before them in all things. The one that does not want to walk into that meeting today, into that either that committee meeting or a business meeting or whatever it might be, that you would go with them in boldness, in mercy, in grace. They are called to glorify you today. So God, go before us today, surround us today, be with us each and every moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.